Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities with Lori Peterson and Abby Weinstein. Lori and Abby spend their days talking about dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and ADHD. They talk to parents of struggling students and adults who have had a lifetime of academic challenges. They want to share those stories along with their own insights with you. So, let's talk learning disabilities.
Hey everybody, this is Lori.
And this is Abby.
Welcome to a very special bonus episode. If you happen to notice, we're here an extra week this time.
Yeah.
Bonus episode, we're at 91, and today we're talking all about summer camps, which has really gotten us in the mood for camp.
I can't wait. I can't believe that, first of all, summer is almost here.
It's on us.
But I love camps. I always loved being a camper. I loved being a camp counselor. And now, talking to these people that work with summer camps, it's got us really excited about camp. Lori and I were just talking about we want to take a summer off and go be camp counselors.
Which I think would be really great.
It would be.
So we interviewed two folks from two different camps that work specifically with kids that learn differently. And I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. So stay tuned and enjoy our two interviews and talk in summer.
Hey, everybody. This is Abby.
And Lori.
And we are continuing to talk about summer camps, and we have a special guest with us now, Mr. Carl Oppenheimer from Camp Dunnebeck. Hi, Carl. Thanks for being with us today.
Hi there. It's great to be here.
Well, we appreciate you coming on in, and we know it's about the middle of April, and summer camp is quickly approaching. Is enrollment still open?
It is. We will keep it open until we're full.
Oh, awesome. Good. Okay. So let's start out. Will you just tell us a little bit about you and how you became involved with Camp Dunnebeck?
Camp Dunnebeck was actually started in 1955 by Diana Hanbury King. And my involvement started sort of in 1990, but actually I was a student at the Kildonan School, which was the school year program of Dunnebeck, and so I graduated from Kildonan, and then went to college, and then I came back to join the faculty at Kildonan, and I started by working at Dunnebeck. So I worked at Dunnebeck that first summer and then continued at the school. And that was about 35 years ago. So,
wow. You've seen it grow.
That's great.
Yeah. Yes,
fun. I have. So, and are you still teaching?
Yes. So we now operate, so the campus in Amenia, New York, which is where we had been at that time, is closed. We've moved our operation to the campus of the Marblewood School in Kent, Connecticut. And so, yes, so I teach at Marblewood during the school year doing Orton-Gillingham tutoring. And then I run the summer, I run Dunnebeck in the summer.
Oh, fun. That's great.
So tell us a little bit about the camp. What makes Dunnebeck special?
So the main thing about Camp Dunnebeck, well, there's two things. It's sort of a twofold. So we are a traditional summer camp with really fun traditional summer camp activities: soccer, tennis, horseback riding, swimming, archery, you know, all those things you would imagine would be at a summer camp. But the other thing that happens is every camper gets one-on-one tutoring every day. One-on-one Orton-Gillingham tutoring every day for reading, writing, and spelling. All of our campers are dyslexic.
Wow. So
the idea is, and this was the idea from the start when Diana King started it, that a kid, you know, shouldn't have to give up a really fun summer just because they have to be at home for a tutor or have to go to summer school. Mm-hmm. So the idea is we bring everything here. We've got that really important learning, the Orton-Gillingham one-on-one tutoring, which is so valuable for kids with dyslexia. And we've got all the really fun and exciting and adventurous activities. We bring in some counselors from overseas. We have some, so half are overseas, half are from America. So lots of opportunities for the kids to be enriched.
Mm-hmm. That's fun. So, and what is the age range?
So ages 8 through 16.
Okay.
And yes. And, you know, sometimes if there's a local person who's, who, you know, might, maybe the kid is 7 or is going to be turning 8 over the summer, they could come for half a day.
Mm.
Just find that for boarding, we need them to be at that 8-year-old.
I get that.
Yeah, I get that. That makes sense.
How long do kids usually stay for?
It's a 6-week program.
Oh,
we only have the 6-week session because we really need to get the kids from start to finish of the program. Kids can make from anywhere from 1 to 3 years or more. The sky's sort of the limit, but that's sort of an example. So, you know, anything less than 6 weeks, it would be hard to really make the kind of progress we'd like to see.
That's awesome.
So do you sort of do like an informal assessment when they get there to see where they're at, especially if they're already getting tutoring through the school year or whatever?
Yes, we do. We do a number of assessments. So the intake assessment, at the beginning of the summer, we use what's called the you're probably familiar with the Kaufman, mm-hmm. For standardized testing,
mm-hmm.
And then that gives us an idea of you know what we need to address. But then throughout the summer, the tutor will give criterion-based assessments, the past, mm-hmm. Other San Diego for spelling, or for reading, things like that. Those are more specific to what the camper is actually working on specifically, and the tutor can see right away, you know, progress and what they're doing.
That's great.
We don't do another big standardized test at the end of the summer. It's only a 6-week program, and the results wouldn't be terribly meaningful for that particular.
Right. I get that. Do the parents get to be informed of the progress their child is making throughout that 6-week session, or do they have to wait till the end?
Yes. No. The tutor. So all of our tutors, by the way, are trained in Orton-Gillingham.
That's awesome.
And we have on staff an Orton-Gillingham fellow who supervises the tutoring and does the training. We also have another Orton-Gillingham, it's called a clinical supervisor, who's almost at that same level. She's also doing the training and supervision. So there's lots of supervision. And every week, the tutor will communicate with the family by email.
Wow,
if a phone call is needed, then that can happen too. And then also we do, so at the halfway point, we have a family weekend where on the Saturday morning of that weekend, families come. We do some music presentations, theater presentations, art presentations. But also we set up some times for parents to sit down and have a conference with the tutor. And if parents can't come on campus, they can set it up so that they're doing that meeting online.
That's great.
And then on that weekend, families have an opportunity to go take their child home or to a nearby hotel, whatever, to see, you know, have a little time with the child, and they come back on that Sunday evening.
Nice. How fun.
There's another 3 weeks. And then at the end of the summer, each tutor will write fairly extensive reports on all of the material that was covered, the the strategies that were used, and the achievements that were made over the course of the summer.
That is amazing.
That is awesome. That's great. So is it just students with dyslexia, or can anybody that's struggling with reading or with a reading disorder or a language
You know, many states have their own idea of what kind of language they use to mm-hmm. describe it. So certainly, we're looking for a certain profile. You know, if the term dyslexia isn't used, you know, we're going to ask that the family provide us with the best thing is a neuropsychological evaluation, and also some school reports and mm-hmm. Stuff that just gives us a chance to kind of see the profile of the child, what kind of difficulty the child is having. And we'll, based on that, we would determine if our program is going to be helpful.
Mm-hmm. About how many campers do you have each summer?
About 50 to 60.
Oh, wow.
That's great.
That's a great group.
That is a good group. But still somewhat small, so right. they can get a lot of individualized attention.
Intentionally so. You know, it's kind of like a little family here at Dunnebeck, and so we want to keep that character.
That's awesome. I'm curious, and for some reason a lot of parents want to know this when I talk about camps. Do the kids sleep in cabins or like dormitories?
Yeah, so we're a little different in that regard to some other camps. So because we're on the grounds of a boarding school, we have the opportunity to house our kids in modern dormitory rooms. So we're not out in cabins. We're not out in tents. We will go on a camping trip one of the weekends, and they'll sleep in tents and cook food outside. But, you know, on a regular week, you know, there's sharing a room with one other camper in a hallway where a couple counselors would be living in one of those rooms. And
with air conditioning?
Well, we don't have air conditioning, but we tell everyone they should bring a fan. Although we are in, you know, we're in the northwest corner of Connecticut, which is very New England. So it doesn't get super hot, except for maybe a couple weeks at the end of camp. Plus, we're at the top of a mountain, and so all the breezes come right through. So that helps out a lot.
Nice.
You don't get, like, Texas 110 degrees hot. That's what we're thinking about for summer.
Right. Oh, that's great. So they don't even need air conditioning.
They don't need it.
That's great.
They don't need it. Must be
awesome.
Nice. Okay, so are your counselors also the tutors, or do they serve different? Everyone serves a different role.
No, it's a separate staff for the counseling, the counselors, and so we hire a separate tutoring staff. So, and then we would some of them come already trained. Some of them have been with us for many years, but we also have a teacher training institute. Which is approved by the Orton-Gillingham Academy. So we are a training facility as well for Orton-Gillingham. And so folks who have not yet been trained, we will train. We have a pretty grueling two-week training course before camp.
That's great. How long, I'm sorry if I missed this, you said every single day each camper gets some academic, gets that tutoring, Orton-Gillingham-based tutoring. How long is that academic time?
The tutoring period, every period is an hour long, so that includes the Orton-Gillingham tutoring period.
Okay.
And then in addition to that, each camper will have 45 minutes of a study hall. The idea is for them to work somewhat independently, although that study hall is supervised by a trained tutor. So if they do have difficulty, they need, you know, they forget how to start something, they're in the middle of something and they just need some help, there's someone there who can help them specifically with what they're working on. We also offer multisensory math tutoring.
Oh, wow.
And that is through, the training for that is through Marilyn Zecher, who is an International Dyslexia Association and Orton-Gillingham tutor. It's the tutoring for the math is similar in concept to the the language training.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. Well, it
keeps it consistent. Yeah.
They would you know, do that instead of, you know, one of the other activities.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, you know, five or six activities they're choosing from throughout the day. Mm. So
that's great. We know a lot of kids that could use some multisensory math tutoring as well as their Orton-Gillingham language program.
How many kids do you have that come from Marblewood versus just coming from other schools across the United States?
So we've had a few kids come to us from Marblewood. It's actually more often the case that they would come to Dunnebeck from somewhere else. And then if they're high school age, they can then, we've had a fair number of kids go from Dunnebeck to Marblewood.
Gotcha. Because Marblewood's just high school, correct?
It is just a high school.
Okay.
Yes. Well, that's kind of really neat. Cool. So campers come from all over to your camp?
They do. We even have some international campers as well.
Wow.
We've got a couple. We've got someone coming from Sweden this year.
That's amazing.
Canada, but that's practically America. But
right, yeah, practically.
Well, they might not want me to say that.
But. Right. Well, you know,
that's awesome. You offer such a very specialized type of camp that it makes sense that people are coming from however far away they need to travel to get to you. I love what you're doing.
And, you know, we do have the one-on-one Orton-Gillingham tutoring is pretty rare. Not many folks offer that.
Well, I think this sounds really amazing. Abby and I have decided that we're going to take a summer sabbatical, and we'd like to know if you're looking for any counselors.
Yes, we want to come be a counselor.
Sure.
Like Connecticut in the summer, get out of the Texas heat, like sign us up.
I mean, we're already passionate about working with and helping students with challenges, with learning needs, special needs. But I'm also a camper, a diehard camper at heart. I went to camp forever as a young child, as a teenager, and I worked as a camp counselor for years, so I would love to come there. But I'm sure that many of our listeners are excited to have another camp resource to access. If they're interested in contacting you or finding out more about Camp Dunnebeck or signing up, how do they find you guys?
So our website is www.dunnebeck.org. And once you're in the site, it should be pretty easy to navigate to get all the information you need. And everything you need to do, you can do right through the site. You can get information, you can apply, and it'll also have the phone number there. You can call, and the first person you probably talk to is my assistant, Yvonne, and she's been with us for about 13 years and can, you know, go into everything about camp that
awesome.
Would need to know.
Well, we'll include those links in the show notes, too, just mm-hmm. so that they have that. Make Definitely. Sure they have it spelled right, and the .org always gets made.
Yes, it does.
So, well, thank you for taking time out of your day today. Obviously, we know this is a very busy time of the year for you, so we appreciate you just sharing a little bit about your camp. And like I said, you know, we might be putting our application in for camp counselors.
All right.
Yes.
All
right. Thank you so much for your time.
Hello, listeners. This is Lori.
And this is Abby. Today, we have Alana Stock from Camp Kodiak. Welcome, Alana. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me. This is really exciting.
Now, Alana and I got to talk for a few minutes at the CEC conference. So if you listened to that episode, you may have heard a little bit about Camp Kodiak. But we're going to start fresh today and just... So that those of you that may have missed that episode or didn't get a chance to hear it, we're going to just start over and talk about Camp Kodiak because Abby and I both feel like this is an amazing place and mm-hmm. could really benefit a lot of the students that we see.
I want to go to Camp Kodiak.
I know.
Okay, so starting off, Alana, for our listeners, tell us a little bit about you and how you became involved with Camp Kodiak.
Well, my dad is actually the one who started Camp Kodiak.
Really?
And if you will allow me to indulge in a bit of a story time right now, my dad was a kid with learning disabilities who grew up at a time when learning disabilities didn't exist. He was called many very negative names by teachers mm-hmm. as he was going through school. He was told he was lazy, that he was stupid, that he wasn't trying. You name it, it was said to him. He actually went through grade 8 three times and grade 9 twice before his parents finally said, okay, we get it. School isn't your thing. You can drop out. So he did. And he had a variety of jobs. And he decided that that was not the life he wanted. There were a lot of jobs with limited opportunities for the future, or as he called them, dead-end jobs. And so he decided to return to school at night, and he was really focused and really motivated, and he worked really hard, and he got his diploma, and then he went to university, and he did an undergraduate degree in geography, and then he decided he was going to be a teacher. So he applied to Teachers College, and from the moment he started teaching until he retired from his teaching career, at I don't even remember how old he was, but he had a full teaching career. That's he was amazing. Always a special ed teacher.
Oh, really?
Because he knew how it felt. Mm-hmm. And while he was a special ed teacher, he actually went back to school again and completed his master's in special education. So this kid who had a hard time getting through grade 8 and grade 9 ended up with a master's degree in special education. And it was while he was working on his master's, and this was in Montreal at McGill University, and one of the people he was working with was running a very specialized and prescriptive literacy program that was affiliated with the Montreal Children's Hospital. And while he was working with her, she said, okay, we're going to take these students on a 4-day camping trip. And my dad's first reaction was like, we're going to do what? Because these kids had to work really hard to get into this program. So basically they were students who were not progressing in their regular school setting. And so it was really hard to get admittance into this program. And he was thinking, why would we waste these 4 valuable teaching days when there's so much remediation that needs to happen? And then once they got there and he saw these kids who felt so constrained and restricted by the expectations of the academic setting and everything that school was, just absolutely thrive in this outdoor setting, he decided that that was what he wanted to do, because he saw these kids grow so much in terms of their confidence and self-esteem in such a short period of time that he thought, if I could do that with a longer amount of time, like think about what could happen. And so that was his guiding thought for many years. And he continued to teach, and he worked at other people's programs or ran programs for other kinds of populations, but it was always in his head. And then eventually he had the opportunity to start his own program, and that's what he did. So in 1991, and so the fact that this is episode 91 is very, very kismet. So in 1991, he started his own program, and in 1998, we opened on our permanent facility. We were renting a location before that, and about almost 15 years ago, he started a young adult program called Club Kodiak for those who had graduated from or aged out of our program but could still benefit from summer programming. So that's how I came to it. I attended all these camps as a kid with my dad. And then when the time came, I was a counselor and then took on more and more leadership roles. And my two sisters were the same as well. And all three of us are directors. And our dad passed away in 2016. And so we were committed to continuing camp. And
his dream.
And so there we are. And so I resigned from my job as a public school teacher when our dad passed away, so that I could do this on a year-round basis, because being a camp director is not just a 2-month job.
You plan for the majority of the year for, and then it goes by in a snap over the 2-month summer period.
Absolutely.
Well, I love that story. I love that you have even more investment and connection in the camp than just another camp director might have. So I love that. And I think it's wonderful that you are carrying on his dream and helping it continue to thrive. So is Camp Kodiak especially for students with learning disabilities or any type of disability?
That's a great question. And that's a hard question to talk about with some campers and mm-hmm. their parents. So our program was designed for kids with learning disabilities, ADHD, and what's now known as ASD level 1. So originally it was LD, ADHD, and NVLD or NLD. And my dad realized that the way that NLD really presented was so similar to kids who were being diagnosed with Asperger's at the time. And so then that became part of the demographic, and because of the change in the DSM and the nomenclature, Asperger's isn't something that's diagnosed anymore, and so it's all under the spectrum of ASD, and so ASD level 1, those who need the least amount of support and intervention. But as I like to say, we don't discriminate against neurotypical kids. So we do have some neurotypical campers who come to us, and they come to us for a variety of reasons. Some, it's because we have over 50 different camp activities, so no one's missing out by coming to Kodiak. Uh-huh. For some parents, it's that our staff aren't 16 and 17-year-old high school students. All of our staff have completed at least 1 year of college or university, and of the three counselors in each cabin, at least one of them is a trained professional who works with kids throughout the year. So we have lots of teachers on staff, child and youth care workers, recreation specialists, and other people who bring that added level of knowledge and experience and expertise to the mix. We also have relatively small cabin groups. It's a maximum of 9 campers to those 3 counselors. And there aren't 9 campers, there's still 3 counselors. And so it's in the cabins, it's a 3-to-1 or better ratio. Yep. Wow. And around camp, if you include all of the additional staff who help support campers during the day, it's 2-to-1.
That's amazing. That's incredible. So what is the age range of campers for Camp Kodiak?
6 to 18. And we actually have a 1-week introductory program for our younger campers, age 6 to 9, and we call that Kodiak Junior. So it's 1 week to get a taste of it, and hopefully they want to come back for more or even stay longer. And we know that 1 week is not an ideal time to go to camp because so many kids need a couple of days to transition into a program, learn the routines, the expectations, the schedules, their surroundings, connect with other people. And that takes a couple of days. And then for some of those kiddos, they also need a couple of days to prepare to transition away from camp. And so if it's only 1 week, they really only get 1 or 2 days when they're really at their best and they get to get the most out of camp. So we only have those 1 week programs for those youngest kiddos, and our sessions are longer other than that.
Okay. So for a typical candidate that's coming to you thinking about camp, are there like 4-week sessions, an 8-week or 6-week? How do the camp sessions work besides that 1 week for the young 6 to 9 year olds?
We start the summer with a 4-week session, and then we have a 3-week session, and some of our campers come for the full 7 weeks. And we really need that time because one of the primary areas of focus is our social skills program. And in order to teach, practice, and refine social skills, you just need that time to do it. And so 1 week is not going to make many changes. We also want kids to make meaningful connections with the people that they're living with in a cabin group and the people they're encountering around camp. And again, meaningful relationships, and especially those that develop into friendships, again, take time to foster and nurture. We also, as I said, have over 50 different camp activities, and we want kids to discover and nurture as many talents and hidden talents as possible, because that helps build their self-esteem and their confidence. And we also take as many opportunities as possible to recognize all the successes, whether they're small or huge, because that also builds them up as well. And the more time we have, the more ways we can recognize those successes, which again helps to build and boost that confidence.
Well, and I think those successes and those experiences away from mom and dad, because mom and dad are always saying, great job, you're so smart, you know, and they're, you know, you start to think, well, of course they're going to say that, but to be away from that and have those successes independently is huge. It's huge. So that's amazing.
That is a good point.
Is there any academic stuff going on during their time there?
There is. Monday to Friday for just under an hour, right after breakfast, is a period called academics. And approximately half the camp is engaged in academic review. So they are organized into groups based on the level of academic skills that they're working on. That's also related to age. So just because a camper who is 16 or 17 is really struggling with literacy skills and is maybe at a grade 4 level doesn't mean they're going to be lumped with grade 4 aged campers in an academic group, because that's not respectful and that's not fair. And so we group them accordingly, and they're working in small groups that are led by a certified teacher. And then there are other counselors who act as tutors, and some of them are in education programs, or they have experience as tutors, or they just really want to do it, or they're looking to enter an education program. And like I said, it's small group instruction. It's done outside in an area we call the Choice Forest at picnic tables. There are no due dates. There are no tests. There are no projects. There's no homework. There's no stress. So if they don't finish everything that the tutor assigned for them for that day, no big deal. We'll pick it up the next day. No
That's
problem.
Awesome.
And for those kiddos who aren't doing the academic review, they are selecting from what we call option 2 electives. And those are activities that are more academically inspired. So it includes a lot of arts-based activities like pottery, stained glass, photography, video, guitar, vocal music, drama, dance. And then it's also things like martial arts or STEM activities, building Rube Goldberg machines, first aid, nature and survival skills, learning to play chess, or a myriad of other things, so that no one's off horseback riding and water skiing while other campers are doing reading, writing, or math review, because that's not very fair either.
Yeah, true. And those kids in academic review would not be very focused on what they're doing, because they'll be concerned about where their campmates, friends are at the moment. So they do that hour after breakfast of academic time, and then is the rest of the day like traditional camp activities where they get to choose those electives and do camp fun stuff?
It's actually a mix of how many activities they get to choose and which ones are already pre-planned. And the reason why three periods a day are already planned and one is choice is because we know that not just kids, adults as well, given the choice, we will stick to things we already know, we're already comfortable with. We don't want to risk looking silly, foolish, embarrassed in front of anyone. And so we'll stick to things that are easy. So by scheduling them for specific activity periods that they do with their cabin group, they're going with the people who know them best, who are their main support system, and they get to take a step outside their comfort zone and take a bit of a risk and try things and support each other and encourage each other and also receive that support and encouragement from their peers. And then the last activity period before dinner each day is called choice, for the very reason that every week they get a list of between 25 and 30 different activities. It includes all the stuff they get to do with their cabin group. It includes those option 2 electives so that the campers who are doing academics don't miss out on their opportunity to learn martial arts or stained glass or whatever it is. Plus a few extra things like fencing and horseback riding and fishing and role-playing games like Dungeons and Dragons and Magic the Gathering and other things like that. They select their top 3 activities that interest them for that week, and they will definitely get one of those. And they will get to do it from Monday to Saturday during that choice period. So not only do they get 6 days to really concentrate and focus on that one activity, they're building skill, knowledge, experience, but they're also meeting campers from other cabin groups who share that same interest. And now they have something in common with those other kids.
Which then helps with social skills and friendships.
Absolutely. And at the end of the first week, they get a new list and pick their three top activities for the following week. And we do that each week.
That's brilliant. I love that idea. So pushing them outside their comfort zone.
Right. If somebody wants to get more information or potentially apply for summer camp, is it too late for the summer?
Absolutely not. We still have room and we are happy to talk to families. And our application process is multi-step. Because we start with, it might be a phone call or an email, or they might even just go on our website and fill in, go to the link, the Apply Now link, and fill in an online application. Once we receive the application, then we contact each family to talk about their camper, get some more details, and then find a time to actually meet by Zoom. So every prospective camper meets with either me or one of my sisters who are my co-directors, so that we get to know each of the campers to make sure that we feel our program is going to set them up for success, and so that we also get a sense of what they're like, because we group our cabins according to best social fit that's also age appropriate. And that's really important as well. But also, we want to make sure that every camper feels like they are an active participant in the decision to come to camp. We don't want anyone feeling like they are being sent against their will, because that is not a good situation for anyone. And so we want them to ask questions that are important to them, talk about concerns that they're feeling. Maybe it's their first time away from home, or maybe they had a negative experience at another program or camp. We want to talk about those things so that we can help make sure that their time at Kodiak is as successful as possible.
Right.
That's awesome.
That is great. So, one last question, or you have Camp Kodiak for most kids up to 18, right? But you also mentioned something called Club Kodiak. What can you tell us briefly, what is Club Kodiak?
We call it the next step. So for campers who are 19 and over, and they are young adults who still benefit from a supported, fun, life skills and social skills building experience in the summer, that's for them. So instead of living in cabins, they live in cottages with self-contained kitchens. Breakfast and lunch is something they organize and prepare and clean up after in the cottage. Dinner is a community event. They learn how to do their own laundry, and we have laundry facilities on site. They participate in life skills workshops like healthy relationships or healthy lifestyle, appropriate online communication, and different topics like that. And they also talk about things like applying for jobs and resume building and all of those kinds of skills. But then we also have lots of fun camp activities for them, and they are doing weekly day trips as well. So then you also get a bit of financial literacy in there, because they have cash to either to spend or burning a hole in their pocket, and making sure that they have enough money to pay for whatever interests them, and also, you know, helping them make sure that they receive the right amount of change, and then what to do with that change later, all of those kinds of skills. And so Club Kodiak started because some of our parents of campers who aged out said to my dad, you know, Dave, my kiddo still gets so much out of Kodiak each summer. Can't they please come back? But when campers were in their 20s, it's not developmentally appropriate for them to be at a camp dance with 10-year-olds. And so, unfortunately, he had to say no for so many years. And then he was like, okay, I'm finally going to start this program. So it started by running after our regular summer program was was done. And then it was running on the same property, but on a different schedule than the rest of camp. And then finally, my dad found another property and purchased that and got it ready so that they had their own site, their own facilities, and that runs completely independently of camp. So it's their own little slice of heaven right there.
Great. And how long is the session for Club Kodiak?
They also start with a 4-week session, then there's the 3-week session, and then it finishes with a 2-week session. So it ends right around Labor Day weekend. And some of those young adults stay 2 weeks and some will stay the full 9 or anywhere in between.
That's great. That is such an awesome, awesome program. There's so much need there. Thank you for telling us about that.
Is all the information about all the different programs all on one website?
It is. So if you go to the Camp Kodiak website, which is just campkodiak.com, there is a link that says, are you looking for a program for young adult 19 plus? Click here and it will take you right to the Club Kodiak website. But Club Kodiak is just clubkodiak.com.
Perfect. We'll put some links to that in our show notes. Thank you so much for sharing all this with us. This is awesome.
And it was really
awesome. If you need any extra adult campers, we're happy to give up a couple weeks this summer and come hang out with you.
I would love to
come. Sounds like so much fun.
Did we tell where you were located?
Oh, that's right.
Camp Kodiak is located?
You mentioned that we're in Ontario. We're actually in a small town called McKellar, Ontario, in an area known as Cottage Country. It's beautiful, lots of lakes and forests and whatnot. And we're just 2.5 hours north of Toronto. And around 30 to 35% of our kiddos come from the U.S. each summer. We also have campers who come to us internationally. So they fly in to the Toronto International Airport. We meet them there, and they travel up to camp with some of our staff members on a bus and start camp the same day as everyone else.
I love
that's
that.
That's great. Awesome.
Awesome. Well,
I want to come visit. We're gonna come.
Yeah,
visit
I think
you.
We may have to come do a few days of camp this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Get out of the heat.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right.
Thank you so much, Alana. We appreciate you being here. We appreciate you doing what you do. And we hope to be able to have some of our listeners choose to take advantage of Camp Kodiak and all it offers.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity to chat about it. And I hope that someone hears it and thinks, oh, this might be amazing for my kiddo. And
me too.
We'd love to have a chat with them about it.
Me too. Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
My pleasure.
And thank you to our listeners for being here and to coming back time and time again. You've helped make our podcast extra successful. And we love what we do. So now we get to keep doing it.
We do.
If you have questions for us or suggestions for future episodes, you can email us at letstalklearningdisabilities.com. Or if you want to access our podcast website, it's www.ltldpodcast.com. And there you can see all of our episodes we've released in chronological order, or even choose episodes to listen to by category.
All right, you guys, have a great rest of your day. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Alana.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
You too.
You too.
Thank you so much for joining us today. In our show notes, you can find information about today's talk, as well as links to resources and other episodes. If you have questions about today's talk, have ideas for future episodes, or just want to stay connected, you can contact us through Diagnostic Learning Services on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So, let's keep talking learning disabilities. This podcast is sponsored by eDiagnostic Learning. You can find more information at www.ediagnosticlearning.com.